So here's our passage. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there's the great white throne. Now, I don't know exactly if it'll look like this, okay? But this is a picture. I think I might even have another one. But a great white throne image. So think about what we've seen. Chapter 19, Christ's return. By the way, I should have told you a story I heard about that. And remember, we come back with him. We follow him. The hosts of heaven follow him to earth. One old lady was talking about, I'm getting close to my time to leave, and I've got a one-way ticket to heaven. And the pastor said to her, oh, that's too bad. I've got a round-trip ticket. She said, what? And then he explained, I'm coming back with Jesus. So you want the round-trip ticket. But after the Christ returns, there'll be a season of judgments, the establishment of the kingdom. The first part is the binding of Satan for, put in the pit, bound in chains. Then we saw the saints ruling. And that's their reward for service. And then we saw Satan released, temptation of the nations, rebellion of the nations, Christ's destruction, and then he saw the great white throne. So this is after the kingdom. We've been through the whole millennial kingdom and fulfillment of all that plan and program, and now comes the great white throne judgment. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Now, look at that phrase, from whose face. By the way, who do you think's sitting on the great white throne? Michael the archangel? I think it's Satan? Okay, this is, if we were for Sunday school, the answer would be what? Jesus. Well, then actually that one will work. If you said God, I'm not going to argue with you, because Jesus is God. But in John chapter 5, Jesus mentioned, for as the Father, chapter verse 26, as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son to have life in himself. And has given, God the Father has given the Son authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. That's that resurrection to judgment. And come forth those who've done good to the resurrection of life, those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Notice he says, those who hear his voice, his own voice, he's going to bring them out and bring them to life and judgment. So this is the great white throne, God, Jesus, or the Trinity together. But Jesus was told he would be the judge, is on the throne. It says, from God's face, the earth and heavens fled away, and there's found no place for them. What's going on here? Any thoughts? Okay, and so if there's a new heaven and new earth, what do you do with the old heaven and new earth? Old earth. They have to go away, okay? So there, by the way, is the question. I don't have my notes to cue me because of the situation. And there it is, Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there's no more sea in this new heaven. So if you're going to have a new heaven and earth, something's got to be done with the old one. 2 Peter 3:10-11 talks about this. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So, but the point is, everything around us is going to get, this is all that's going to flee away from the presence of God, be consumed in fire, and melt away. When we were teaching our first singles Bible study, I remember when one of the gals showed up in the new red sports car. And we said, wow, that's really great. What's the deal? And she said, well, when I think about the fact that everything's going to burn up, I better enjoy it while I can. So I'm not sure that's the... I'm not going to say there was anything wrong with buying a red sports car, but I'm not sure that's a direct application of the concept. But so it's all going to pass away. It's all going to be burnt up. And so that's going to be demo day. You know, if there's a new heaven and new earth coming, demo day is everything fleeing from before God. And so it's just going to dissolve away. It's amazing, isn't it? All this incredible stuff is just going to be gone. And so if here's another great white throne picture, just phew. And there will be before the presence of God. And just so, you know, those that worship this earth and such. Now, again, this earth is glorious. It's beautiful. I think we're to enjoy it. I think we have a stewardship responsibility for it. But we don't worship it. And even, you know, a lot of times, well, the mountains will never be moved. Guess what? They're going away. And so it's just a reminder, this earth and all its magnificence and its glory and its wonder is going to be melted away. Now, some will argue, okay, well, that means it's just the surface of the earth. I don't quite read the text that way, but it's going to be a big demo day. And you need that because you've got a new heavens and new earth coming. So this is this place. So if you think about it, Adam and Eve, sin. Sin's a part of the human race, and a curse is on the earth. Now, the way I like to say it is the curse is greatly lifted, but not gone. People are still dying, even in the kingdom. There's still sin. So it's greatly lifted, but not gone. This is the cleansing. All the cursed earth is just totally gone. You know, we're not just going to patch the walls. It's gone, and it's all new. And there will be before God. Or there will be. We'll talk about who's going to be there. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So if you take a careful look at this passage, do any words stand out to you as kind of repetitious or anything? What words jump out at you as repeated? What's that? Dead twice, I think. Small and great, by the way, everybody. You know, there's no distinction here, okay? I was struck by that word book. Books and book. I thought for sure Kelly, with a degree in library science, would have jumped on that books business. Oh, she did. Okay, my hearing. So there are books and a book. There were books were opened, and another book, that book is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. So what's in the books? Their deeds, their works, the basis of their judgment. So that's the record of their deeds. And then the book of life, we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, good. So there's books and a book. It might look like that. Lots of scroll books up there. Might look like that. This was my initial plan when we came to this building of what I wanted my office to look like. Might look like that. You think about, what would the library look like that has all the deeds of all the lost of all time? Might look like that. Or maybe like that, scrolls. I think this is supposed to be the library that Alexander the Great established. Remember when he was all about culture, and especially imposing the Greek culture. That's the word for Greece is Hellene, and he wanted to Hellenize the world by spreading Hellen. You know, so we talk about Hellenism and Hellenistic influence, and so he in Alexandria, Egypt, he built a library. And he wanted books from every language and culture. And so this is where we talk about the Greek translation of the Old Testament. They commissioned Jewish scholars to translate the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek. And it was brought to a place like this. And so the great tragedy of history is it burned down. You know, wouldn't it be amazing to see these, you know, This was a massive undertaking to again, just that sense of trying to accomplish culture. But so all that to say, it might be scrolls, it might be books. You know, will it be just grand iPads? You know, with scrolling. But why do they need books? Why would they need books for this trial? No argument. Okay, so it's an evidence-based trial, isn't it? So you could see the justice of it. You know, that it's all going to be built on, you know, that it's not favoritism. You know, it's not anything else. It's going to be fact-based. And the people won't be able to argue with what's in those books. They'll have to admit, that's true. That's what I did. That's what I said. That's what I thought. There it is. Here's the evidence. So God in his justice will bring an evidence-based judgment. And this is, by the way, the judgment of the lost. This is when they're brought in here, the saved are already, you know, they've already been dealt with. But they'll be gathered by the books. So here's another picture of it. You see they're pulling out the writings and judging people based on what they find. I think I prefer some of the other pictures to this one. But if it looks like this when I get there, okay, I'm not going to argue. We'll go with it. It won't look like this either, will it? When I think of trial, that's what I think of. Okay, for the younger ones, who are those? Perry Mason. And who's the other guy that he's arguing against? Mr. Berger, yeah. Anyone know his first name? Hamilton Berger, yes, yes. Oh, did they do that? Was it you think hamburger was what they were thinking? So Al Perry Mason. So what happened? By the way, but that's interesting. What's Perry Mason's job? Defense attorney. And, boy, you wanted Perry Mason because I never saw him lose. I think there was one case, right? That, yeah. And so what was Hamburger's job? He's the prosecutor. You notice in Revelation 20, 11 to 15, I don't see any reference to attorneys. Satan's not there accusing the brethren because the brethren are not there. Yeah, there are no attorneys. no attorneys in heaven. Oh, well, maybe that's it. So it's just, here's the books, here's the facts, here's the judge. You don't need to try and convince a jury because God is the perfect judge and jury. He's not swayed by deception or emotion. Facts. And he knows the facts, all of them. So it's not this one. So the sea gave up the dead who were in it. The death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. On what basis they were judged? Works. Based on what you did. There's the evidence. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there were books and a book, right? The books were your works, your deeds. The book is your name written in the book of life. Okay? And so that's different. So what determined if someone went to hell? Yeah, their name's not in the book of life, so they had no relationship with Christ. So the judgment of the works, what do you think? Why are the works necessary then? Okay, so what's going to happen for the person that said, I'm doing it by my works, okay, they bring out the works, what's going to be the result of that? You're still guilty. So yeah, but that's, in one sense, man is given a chance, okay. Can your works, are your works worthy of salvation? No. And so all the works can do really is end up condemning them. But so they give evidence you weren't saved. Okay? That's the evidence you weren't regenerated. You weren't born again. So there's evidence that you're lacking salvation. There's evidence of the rightness of God's judgment. And I'd say, too, it also determines the degree of punishment. There are different degrees. So death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. See, I don't have my notes in front of me because usually I've got that thing and I know what's coming up next. So remember back in chapter 20, verse 6, A, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. That was talking about the believers, resurrected to glory, resurrected to reward. They have they're part of the first resurrection, and because of that, they have no part in the second death. Here's the second death, the lake of fire. So the great white throne, notice there's no mention of heaven. This is a totally works-based condemnation of the lost. So some will say believers will not be at the great white throne judgment. I'm not sure about that. But if we're there, we're in the audience. You know, we're seeing God's justice played out. But we will not stand before the court, because what does Romans 8:1 say? Can anyone remember that? Quote it. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation because it all fell on Christ. So we have no part of the great white throne judgment. This is strictly condemnation, and there's no mention of heaven, just the lake of fire. So you see that? So this is not the final judgment of all mankind. So some people, when they look at prophecy, you know, they don't like the idea of a kingdom and the first coming, second coming, or the rapture and all that separated. And so they like to kind of lump everyone here, but there's no mention of heaven here. It's just the negative, the lake of fire. And really, why don't you get into the lake of fire? Your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that's why I say, that's not in this verse. I thought I had another one about that. Okay, here we go. So the Book of Life, we're told earlier in Revelation that it was written from the foundation of the world. So that means if your name is written in the book of life before the first Adam is created, what does that tell you? Pardon me? God knew. And here we see God's election. So it's not your decision, okay, because it would be great, you know, make good drama. You know, if you're making a film, someone's coming forward, becoming a believer, and you see some angel writing down the name they got in. That's not how it works. Here we see God's electing purposes. And sometimes you'll see reference to a book of life where people's names can get blotted out. Depends on the context. But there is a sense where there's a book of life, which is the book of who were people who are alive, kind of the like the census or the citizenship roll of those who are alive. When you die, you're taken out of the book. But that's not this book. This is the Lamb's book of life. This is the book of all who are believers. And so that's why I think it's important to note it's written from the foundation of the world. So here's the elect believers. And then there's other books, works. One book of life and lots and lots of books of works. For every person, their own little library of everything they did and said, thought, on which they're judged. The Lamb's Book of Life basically proves is evidence of one issue. Did you trust Christ? If your name's in the book, you did. And yes, then you go to heaven. If your name's not in the book, no, lake of fire. The works confirm that. That's evidence that proves you didn't know the Savior. Works also determine degree of punishment. And so that's where there's, so that, you know, someone might say, well, what about someone like a Hitler? Well, he's going to have a much more serious judgment. And one of the things I've mentioned before, the passage where Jesus will say, woe to you, Chorazin and these other cities. It's going to be harder on you than Sodom and Gomorrah because you had more opportunity. So places that have heard a lot of gospel preaching and a lot of Christian presence are going to be held much more accountable to God than places that have very minimal exposure to the gospel. And so those will all be things brought into consideration in God's judgment. Make sense? So we don't get to heaven on the basis of works. And in fact, we're not even in this judgment. This is all unbelievers. Lamb's Book of Life, if your name's not written, you go to the lake of fire. The works prove the rightness of your judgment and establish the degree of punishment. Make sense? What about believers' works? Our multi-volume library of our sins. What happens to those? Tetelestai, paid in full. They're not brought against us, because Christ paid for them. Romans 8, there's no condemnation, right? That first part, that's the Greek word tetelestai, which means it is finished. That's what Jesus announced, but that means paid in full. For the believer, it's just a matter of reward. The more faithful your service, the greater your responsibility. And so some people will get a place like Elmo. And that's what their throne will look like. And so others, Jerusalem. So there you have it. So this hypothetical individual we mentioned with his library of works, sins were covered, paid in full, and that's his reward. Any comments or questions? Thoughts about it? You bet it. You bet. Yeah. That's what the book is, and that tells us, the book tells us if they trusted Christ or not. So if they're in the book, they trusted Christ. Yeah, that diagram could deceive. Yeah. So if you're in the book, you are a Christ truster, and you're going to heaven. And so that's what they said. If you're not in the book, you go to lake of fire. Good. Good. Any other thoughts or questions on it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The dead here are not any of the believers, are they?
No.
So judgment, what recourse is there for them other than being cast into the lake of fire?
At this point, none. There is no recourse at the great white throne. This is the condemnation, the final sentence.
So verse 15 is more rhetorical, I should say, because it's not anything. There is no either or at that point. It's like they are not going to be in the book of life anyway.
They're not in the book. But in a sense, they're going to kind of confirm it. So the and I don't know which comes first, the book or the books, in terms of judgment. But there's two aspects of it. You're going to be checked. Are you in the book of life or not? And so if they're not, it's lake of fire. Did you do enough good works? And it's, did you trust in Christ as Savior? And so that's just part of the confirmation. No one at the great white throne will be found in the book of life. And so the works then confirm that and add to that the degree of punishment.
I think this is a good conversation piece for people who believe that their works can possibly get them through.
Yeah. Yeah.
I live a long life. I live, so I think.
And see, here's the thing. Here's God judging in perfect justice. I mean, the record will be there. And it will be unquestionable condemned. The only hope we can say is, oh yeah, those books, they're full of bad. I'm so grateful for the cross. Christ is my Savior. That's our only hope. And then our works do not earn, they're not earning salvation. They're evidencing lostness and earning punishment. Our works don't earn salvation, but God in His mercy actually rewards our faithful labors, but doesn't punish our sin. And we might say, well, is that fair? He offers that to everybody. Jesus says, come unto me. So everybody is invited to come to Him. Yes. Yes.
When does the judgment come? When believers come before Christ and crowns are bestowed, when is that?
Good. The judgment seat of Christ, you see that in 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5 in particular talks about we will all stand before. That's reward. That's not salvation. And that is after the rapture. And one of the things that shows us that is, that's when we're all there, we're gathered after the rapture, judgment seat of Christ. And that's why you see us clothed in white and, following, because, we've been to the judgment seat of Christ and we're clothed in Christ. Then also those who are raised in the after the tribulation. So the Old Testament saints, they too, that's not exactly the judgment seat of Christ, but that's when they received their reward of, again, faithfulness, greater areas of service. So that all happens at the beginning, during the tribulation in heaven, and at the, right before, at the beginning of the kingdom, and then all this is 1,000 years later. And it's all judgment. Yes?
Believers can't be judged on the works of salvation because salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not ours.
Yeah, there's nothing we can... The problem is... It's like, I've heard this illustration. You're brought before the judge for speeding through a school zone. And you stand before the judge and say, "You don't understand. You don't know how many times I have stopped at a red light. How many stop signs I've stopped. I honor every yield sign in that city. Well, that still, you know, maybe you can get a reward for that, but that doesn't negate you broke the law. And so there are no works that can undo that. Now, that's where our Jewish friends, they say repentance and good works and prayer do atone for, you know, your previous bad works. Wrong. And so, and their scriptures tell us that. He bore our sins. And so, you can't work for them. And if you think about it, what's really going to, you know, you talk, we see where the saints throw their crowns down before the throne. I think partly what's going on there is, you know, the crown is an honor from the Lord for faithful service. And we're going to say, well, any faithfulness in me, your Holy Spirit was doing it. You know, this crown is yours. You know, we're going to give, you know, that's the amazing grace. God will honor us for what his Holy Spirit does in us. That's astounding grace. So when we see the terror of this judgment, this is what fell on Christ at Calvary. And we were spared this at Calvary. So that's, but this passage too, I think, really draws a stark distinction. You're either in the book or not. That's the only issue. You're either in Christ or not. And you can have given gazillions of dollars to this fund or that fund, and you know, you could do all kinds of things. The issue is, has your sin been covered by Jesus Christ? And if it's not, then there's only one hope for you, or one place for you. That's the lake of fire. So this is a very stark, so as we're getting ready to enter into the new heavens and new earth, we kind of see all of this being resolved now. The issue of sin is finally and fully dealt with. We're ready to move into the next phase. And that'll be in chapter 21 next week. Any comments on it? That's a sobering few verses. And so, it causes us to think about those who need Christ, and it causes us to be so grateful. It's not nothing I did. I'm no better than him or her. I'm God in his mercy saved me. And, I deserve that lake of fire as much as anyone. But for the Lord. And so it just humbles us in incredible gratitude and causes us, to really pray and see the urgency of knowing Christ.